accession number 20807, Reel 2.
George Rathke, Reel 2.
We always took, when we got into position, I mean, we made a lot of noise. We got into position facing the crest. We always dug a hole underneath the tank, usually about 6 foot long and 2 or 3 feet wide. And we used to get into there to sleep, not actually on the hill, but we also had a field way back behind us, about half a mile, where we moved out to at night. We also dig this hole there, and we slept in there with one man on duty, and then four of us slept in this hole, you know. And the first thing in the morning, we went back up again and made a lot more noise and a lot more commotion, and then settled down into the holes that we dug. One of the lads stayed on duty on top on the wireless and so on, and the rest of us laid underneath the tank. Which reminded me of a very, very funny incident that happened then, because the Germans used to shell a mortar quite regularly, apart from about between 12 and 1, when there was no fire came over. We presumed they were having a meal or something, you know. And the lads just took the opportunity of getting out of the tank and going forward a bit, and digging a hole and dropping their pants and all that. And this particular day, I always remember it, they just got that, there was about, must have been about a dozen chaps, different tanks up there, all sat with the slacks down, bent down, and German opened fire again. And so they dashed back the tank, run along, pulling the trousers up, you know, and it struck me as very funny. We had quite a laugh about that.
Was that on Hill 112?
I was on 112, yes. You've probably heard they've now built a memorial on Hill 112. They've also taken the Churchill tank, which had been taken over by somebody and renovated. And it was taken over there, and that's been placed on Hill 112 in the position where we were as a memorial. It'll stay there indefinitely.
Of all the different infantry units that you operated with, was there any one unit which you particularly respected?
No, they were all good. I couldn't name them all, but they were all good. There were some very, very good fighters there. A lot of them have been in North Africa and come over to England and then over to Normandy, you know. And they kept changing. Another new one come and others went away. But we worked with most of the infantry units were in Normandy at the time. We worked with it some one time or another.
Did you have anything to do with civilians in Normandy?
Very little. The only place I was really familiar with was a family in Eindhoven, where we stayed for a couple of days. But I can't remember the name. I know they were elderly couple, but they had three daughters, and they gave us a room up above. I was then quartermaster sergeant. I'd been promoted, and the sergeant major and I had this room at the top of their house, you know. And that was another very, very amusing incident, because we'd got all the men into billets. Before we moved to this house, the Sergeant Major and I, and they took us up into this room. Of course, we'd had a few drinks, and we both wanted the toilet. We didn't know where it was, so we opened the window through the window, you see. And when we went down the next morning, the eldest daughter begged us, you know, to come outside. And she pointed up the wall, and you could see down the wall where we'd... And she just, No good. Tonight, I bring you piss pot. That's what they call them over there, you know. So that night when we got into the room, as I say, we'd been out with the lads and had a few drinks. We got into this room and we both used this piss pot. And it was brimming over by morning. So we left it there and went back to our unit. And the following night we went over. We saw this. There was a piss pot there, but there was a knock on the door. And the eldest one there, and she said, not enough, one. Bring you another one, give us another one, so we had two there. But we were only there about 4 days, I think, and we finally left.
How do you feel now about having served with 9th Royal Tank Regiment in the Second World War?
Say again.
How do you feel now about having served with the 9th Royal Tank Regiment in the Second World War?
I feel very proud of the fact that I was with the 9th Battalion. As I say, we formed our own association called the Keesey Flot Association. You've heard of that, have you?
This is the motto of your regiment, isn't it?
There's a story of it in the book now. It's on the wall now, if you care to read it. In the First World War, the 9th Battalion, this is in the First World War, helped a German regiment, did a terrific battle with them and helped them so much that they presented them with their badge, which is the Keesey Flot badge, which we wear all on our left arm sleeve, all of us. And we have a reunion every year in June at Charing, because Charing was the last place we were at before we actually moved down to Alderston, not on to Normandy. But we were in Charing for quite a while. We did several exercises from there. Used to load the tanks, loading the tanks onto these war flats, which was quite a tricky job. You know, you had to get them dead so on, dead centre. And of course, the first tank, if we were going on a long exercise, which we did once, full 18 tanks, the first tank had to traverse 18 of these war flats, which was a hell of a job, you know, keeping level and straight. Tank commander in the front, guiding them and making sure they're all straight, you know. But it was quite a job.
What does your motto mean?
He who rubs against me burns himself.